Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Well, I will say this. None of our teams lost this weekend, so congratulations to everyone.
Hey, way to go, guys. Nice job. Yep. Way to go. Good stuff.
NFC North just stays out of it altogether.
You guys just set this one out.
We'll play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl instead.
Well, Corey, let's start there. Let's start with last night's game, Kansas City and Buffalo. It's another classic between those two with the same result. Kansas City punches their ticket. They're back in the Super Bowl, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. What did you make of that game last night and conference championship weekend as a whole?
Well, I was a little surprised with last night because I thought that would be a lower scoring game than it was. So I was surprised to see both teams put as many points on the board as I did. Look, I know everybody loves to complain about officiating with Patrick Mahomes and with the Chiefs. They don't win all of these games because of officiating. They win all these games because, number one, they don't beat themselves, and they make the critical plays in absolutely the critical moments. Look, every time there's a call that goes the Chiefs' way, people go crazy now because they're looking for it. There are calls that go both ways all the time. I mean, the referees did not make Dalton Kincaid drop that pass at the end of the game, although there was a flag that got picked up, so that's kind of questionable. But, you know, those are the plays the Chiefs make, and that's the play that the Bills didn't make. And that's why they're the Chiefs, and that's why they've won 12 one-score games this year, because they get it done at the most important moments. And they stay healthy, which is pretty amazing. They just do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, the Chiefs deserve the credit here. This is not a ref show. We have talked about it. You know, the spot. That's one of those. I just don't understand how that ref on the one side determined how. And I'm watching it on TV right now, the replay, that, you know, that they could be
different.
Can
one of them
see
the ball and one of them can't, though? I mean, that's the question I've got. Because it's where the ball is, not where Josh Allen's head is, where his back is, where his feet are. It's where the ball is.
Yeah. I mean,
they missed the call. Let's be honest about the conversation. It was a terrible call.
It's like, you don't think they missed it? I think they missed it, too.
I don't know if they missed it or not. I don't think there was anything definitive for me to say, oh, my gosh. Look. It could have gotten marked a first down. It didn't get marked a first down. I didn't have an angle or a view that told me that the ball was clearly across the line. All right.
Okay.
I didn't. And I understand the people who think that it did, but I don't know how anyone could say it clearly did. I don't.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll agree with me on Sean McDermott and the coaching malpractice that is not being talked about enough, which is not talked about enough in general. With this chasing points, gambling for points early in games,
I agree with you.
Just completely idiotic. And if you go back and it just makes the correct choices, then the Chiefs' field goal at the end ties the game. It does not go ahead.
You can't chase points early. I mean, you just can't. You got to take the points that are there. I mean, look, you're playing one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. All right, so the 2-point conversion is going to be more difficult than ever. And like I said, it's too early to be chasing because you see over and over again how those points add up and come back to bite you. Now, I guess if they get those 2-pointers and win the game, we're like, oh, that was a genius move. But I agree with you. I don't chase points until at least late in the third, depending on the number of possessions in the football game. I thought that was way too early to be giving points away. You know, you have to, the other thing, I James Cook, I mean, the guy averaged like 8.6 yards per touch. And like, he's not on the field at the end of the game. So yeah. DJ Johnson can be out there. I'm like, what are you doing? And on that last drive for the Bills, their first down play that Johnson got dropped for like a 3-yard loss, that run was open. There was a crease opening up on the outside. If he just hits it for the sideline like it's designed, he's going to get a nice gain on that play. Instead, he gave up on his blocking and lost 3 yards. I think James Cook turns that into a nice gain.
Yeah, it's really befuddling why he was not on the field at that time. So switching gears to the Titans, we've talked about the Borgonzi part of all this. What, as you kind of sift through the wreckage of last week and the comments that Borgonzi has made and how we view the power structure now, what do you make of that hire, the way that, you know, you think it could shake out here with him now as the general manager, and now the infrastructure that they've started to place around him with some of the guys that they're now hiring in the assistant GM roles and in scouting spots?
Okay, well, number one, I'm going to upset people because I don't have the same outrage as everyone else, okay? I think Mike Borgonzi is the general manager, and he is in charge of personnel. Can Chad Brinker ultimately overrule him? Yes, he can, but I wouldn't expect him to do that in this scenario unless he was trying to trade A.J. Brown away, but he's already gone, so I'm not too worried about that. So I think I don't – for me, and the people can tell me to shut up, and my opinion doesn't matter. I don't care. Mike Borgonzi doesn't take that job unless he's absolutely sure he's in charge of personnel. And he is, okay? And I think, you know, on paper, because we got to see how it works out, because Chris Ballard came from the Chiefs, and that's not working out too well up in Indy. But on paper, you know, it looks like, you know, regardless of how you got there, you've got a better candidate in that job. Now, he's got to execute it. You know, they're changing their front office. And you know, when you just look at the four teams who played yesterday, and you know, yes, you can point to the Eagles and say, well, they didn't draft AJ Brown or they didn't draft Saquon Barkley. Well, they traded a first round pick for AJ Brown, so he's a first round pick for them, and then they supplemented with Saquon Barkley. But the rest of their players, Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, you know, the big guys on the defensive line, Lane Johnson, they drafted all those guys. And the Chiefs, you know, they supplement with DeAndre Hopkins, who barely even plays now. But most of their guys are guys they all drafted. I mean, it's, you know.
I mean, the Eagles found Jordan Mailata in the 7th round of the draft. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, okay. But they draft, and, you know, every team's got those guys. The Titans have had those guys. I mean, Courtland Finnegan was a 7th round pick for the Titans back in the day.
I'm just saying that highlights how well that team has drafted.
Yeah. Yes, but they draft everywhere. I mean, they don't have a lot of misses. They don't have a lot of Andre Dillards, and they got rid of him. Okay, you know they've got.
They
way
found
more
a sucker to take him.
Yeah, they did.
Who
they
was that? I forget.
For him, absolutely. But you know, I mean, we can go up and down. You know, the Washington's better because of how they drafted. I mean, they got better because of the players they brought in. And so, you know, the Titans are going to have to draft better. And, you know, you've got two former GMs with the new GM, you know, in the front office to try to restructure things and figure it out. And, you know, I think they're right. I mean, I think, you know, adding draft capital and building from the base up is what this team has to do if they want to be built for success. And it could be painful for another year or two, but if you want to be good, you've got to add a core of good young players that disappeared, frankly, over a 3-year span. And they've got to figure out a way to do that. And, you know, whether it's trading away assets that you've got on your roster, which can be painful because you don't necessarily have guys to replace them, or draining down in the draft, which sounds like something that they're very open to doing.
Okay, I have to throw this hypothetical at the Bears fan. Right now, Corey.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have Caleb Williams, or you can just have a free swap and Jaden Daniels as your quarterback of the future instead of Caleb Williams. What are you choosing?
Well, I think I'd be crazy not to say Jaden Daniels right now based on the results so far.
Good job. I was worried that you were actually going to say what I've seen some people say, which is, no, Caleb.
Ben Johnson's in there now.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be good for Caleb. I think he's going to be good, but good. I'm with you 100%. That's the correct answer, Corey.
No, I mean, look, I still think Caleb Williams has a ton of talent. I think this year was disappointing, but I think the whole team I think that record with the roster that they have was among the most disappointing in the NFL. I think there are more good players to win games with there. And his season in particular was disappointing. Despite the fact that a lot of his numbers were okay. But when you see Jaden Daniels and his calmness in the pocket and ability to make plays, I mean, look, I continue to say I never saw that coming for him, especially this quickly. You know, you have to be blown away with just how good he was. I thought they would win yesterday because of how good he's been, you know, because Jalen Hurts was not that the first 2 weeks. Whether the coach had the cuffs on him or not, that was a different Jalen Hurts we saw yesterday.
All right, Corey, I feel like I'd be remiss if I did not ask you this question. You who are,
awesome,
as we know, the most popular man in Duval. What do you make away this whole coaching search boiled down for the Jags?
You know what? When that happened, I was thinking of the time when Joe asked, you know, what was your question about the AFC South? Like, what's the most?
Who's the most dysfunctional?
Yeah, who's the most? But whatever it was, and it's just, you know, the Colts keep their bad people around, and then the Jaguars. It's got to be Duval. I mean, 4 winning seasons in 20 years. And, you know, the mess that they've made of this coaching search, I can't believe Liam Cohen will step into it. You know, the next thing you'll know, they'll trade for Will Levis. Didn't you play for him at Kentucky?
He did. Hey, man, make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, so.
That was his good season, was with Liam Cohen as his OC.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I wish Liam Cohen the best. I'm sure he'll make a fine OC in 2 years when he's looking for a job.
Shout out to Trent Baalke. Good stuff.
Yeah. Trent Baalke is like, you know, he just leaves death and destruction in his wake. He's like a tsunami of losing.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
I just have one thing to say.
Okay.
Duval.
Yes. Thank you very much. Beautiful. Corey Curtis, we'll take your reaction to what Corey had to say. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. I figured he'd get a kick out of the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching search stuff. Corey, a hated man down in Duval.
Yes. Next time I'd like a little more Duval. I mean, he didn't give us the full, you know, you got to give it a little more.
Lean in.
You got to linger a little bit more on the Duval.
They did make quite the mess of that coaching search. But hey, they ended up with who I think might be a good coach, maybe.
I will say that, like, the Tampa Bay people, I mean, not being reachable is that's wild.
It's not good. Right?
That's crazy. But, like,
Have you guys been calling?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is lame. However,
don't get a lot of good service in Jacksonville.
Yeah. But, like, everything else that happened about it, it's a head coaching job.
I agree.
I mean, he didn't want to take it because they had a GM that no one wants to work with. They fired the GM, so, like, there's nothing wrong with him doing what he did. It's just,
no, just answer the phone.
Yeah, answer the phone. Yes. Answer the phone, Liam.
Liam! I can't get a hold of you.
I got his number if you guys – I can put that on the text line, drivenbywilsoncountyhunting.com. You guys can text him.
You got Urban Meyer?
Wish him good luck.
Urban Meyer's number? Send him a subscription.
I do.
Hey, Urban. I'd like to offer you a subscription to The Athletic if you're willing to pay for it.
Every once in a while he texts me, hey, that mock draft by Brugler looks really interesting. Could you mind sending me –
copy and paste?
Send me your password? Yeah. Thanks, Urban.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Shedeur Sanders part of this. So Shedeur Sanders over the weekend was at the East-West Shrine Bowl. He met with the media, met with the Tennessee Titans, and detailed some of that. Apparently Deion FaceTiming him in the meeting, and the Titans said, hey, go ahead, pick that phone up. Let's talk. Get Deion in here. So apparently a nice chat with Deion and Shedeur. And Shedeur Sanders talked about how he's the most guaranteed risk in the draft and He would love to be a Titan. He'd be thankful to be a Titan with the number one overall pick, which, of course, got all the headlines going this weekend. I said it earlier in the show, Joe, like this is kind of the first wave of all of the comments and speculation and spin zone off what people say around draft time, and we're going to hear it from now until the time the draft rolls around of, you know, Brian Callahan said his first impression of Shedeur Sanders was really, really good, and I guess that now means that he's the favorite to go number one overall. And I said it, take everything said about draft prospects, particularly when you're dealing with a number one pick, with a grain of salt. I'm not saying the Titans don't like Shedeur Sanders. I'm sure they do. I'm sure he made a really good first impression. You know, I watched a lot of his press conference this weekend, and I found him to be extremely likable. I enjoyed his answers. So, I have no doubt that he made a good first impression. I have no doubt that Cam Ward will make similar impressions with the Titans. I just would encourage people to take the public comments on what the Titans and others say for a grain of salt before the draft comes around.
Yeah, they mean virtually nothing. I do like, by the way, that Sanders and Ward are like working out together and like talking. Yeah. No, I'm generational. That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
but it just doesn't. Like Brian Callahan's not going to say, you know, I didn't really like him too much. Also, kind of question him as a player. Thanks for asking. I mean, you're going to say positive things about people. And like you said, maybe completely, I don't doubt that it's true what he said. But also, what does that mean? You know, what does that actually mean? It does not mean, it really doesn't give you any sort of information at all about what they may do. A lot of this is just really.
It's interesting to me, though, like the more that people talk about these two guys, you know, Ward and Sanders, like there's a pretty wide variance of opinion in terms of like how good they are and how ready they are. Like there are some people that don't feel like either one of them are going to be good NFL quarterbacks. Like, there are some people who don't think Shedeur Sanders is a first-rounder, much less a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, TD, I think, is pretty high on both of them. He's not alone. Like, there are some people that are like, oh, yeah, like, you'd be crazy not to pick Cam Ward, number one overall, if you're the Titans. It's you know, there's variance every year, but it feels like it's pretty wide with these two at quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, and I wonder if it has something to do with that bad QB class.
22?
Yeah, just because really up until that point, I can't recall. I'm sure there was some, you know, whatever, 1997, whatever. But I can't recall a year like that where there wasn't at least a guy or two that was worthy of going at the top of the draft. Now, some of those years where they were quote-unquote worthy, they busted badly. But, like, you know, that was a year where you're like, well, they're still going to go to the top of the draft. And then they didn't. And it turned out to be like they just weren't at all starting quality quarterbacks. So, I don't know. I just wonder if any time there's a year where it's not, you know, like last year was a great year, right? Everybody's like, oh, these guys are incredible. And I think it could – I mean, May, Williams, and Daniels, and Nix could all end up being, like, very
good
to great for a long time in this league. So maybe it's like the fact that there was this bad – I'm totally spitballing here, but there was a bad draft of quarterbacks, and then we're coming off this great one, and people are just skeptical because of that. But I do think also you're right that there's just a variance of people who have actually really closely looked at these players. I haven't. I won't. But I'm like with Nick Suss. I watched a lot of them in college, and I think Cam Ward is – like 5 years from now, we might be just blown away by some of our takes, including mine, about, because he might be great, man. I mean, I'm arguing with my son today. He's like, Cam Ward is going to be Mahomes. You realize that, right? People are saying the same stuff about Mahomes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think he's going to be Mahomes. But, man, I don't know.
It's a heck of a bar.
Yeah. But, I mean.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah. Like,
yeah. But you know what? He could. I mean, if he refined everything and took out the, jumping out of bounds and throwing across his body in the middle of the field and some of the stuff that I've seen him do, I'm like, dude, you can't do that. I mean, he makes throws sidearm and, like, that are wow. No doubt.
It's interesting. Like, I can remember, I think off the top of my head, and there may be more, but off the top of my head, I think I can remember two draft classes in recent memory where the quarterbacks were just not at all exciting. Obviously, 2022, which we've talked about a lot, where Kenny Pickett got taken at 20th overall. And then 2013, I think EJ Manuel was like the first quarterback taken in 2013. And he got taken at like, I don't know, it was somewhere like high teens maybe to Buffalo. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, 16 to Buffalo. He was the first quarterback taken that year.
Okay, good recall.
And he went
recall.
16
yeah.
to Buffalo. And then I think Geno Smith was the second quarterback he was, and he got taken second round. So, like, those are the two draft classes where it just kind of felt like everybody looked at the quarterback and said, eh, this is not very good. Like, I still don't think this one's that. Like, I would be stunned if, like, the first quarterback is Cam Ward and he goes, you know, 15th. I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree.
But I just – there, like, Cam Ward is another one. Like, there are some people that watch Cam Ward play and they're like, yeah, he's going to be great at the NFL level. Like, what's the hesitancy on this? And I think there are others that look at him and say, well, some of the decision-making sometimes a little questionable. He's a little raw. Maybe it's going to take a while. And – you know, we mentioned the article from Blake Bedingfield at PaulKuharski.com, right? Like, he doesn't have a first-round grade on these guys. Like, it's on Sanders. Like, it's interesting. You know, Charles Robinson came on with us a few weeks ago, said there are some teams that don't have a first-round grade on either guy, Cam Ward or Shadur Sanders.
Yeah. That to me, means something. Like, that's – again, those teams could be wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
But clearly, this is not clearly – you know, top of the draft QB situation. But, yeah, like, I've said that I like Sanders better, and I get also the knocks. It's like he doesn't have – like, his measurables aren't fantastic
right.
at all, you know. I just value accuracy, which I think he is pretty freaking good in that way. But, no, it's I think that I'm with you. I mean, I'll be shocked if someone doesn't take them, if not one – you know, like I think both of them in the top 10. And you know what? The teams who take them, they may end up being happy about it.
I did have this thought, though, yesterday. It's the same thought I'm sure every team that doesn't have a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes is going through right now, like with the exception of Cincinnati, who can't get out of their way in other ways. But it's like, you know, I looked it up yesterday because I was like, man, so it feels like Mahomes has been around for about 45 years at this point. How old is he? Oh, he's 29. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Josh Allen, how? He's 28. Okay, so these guys aren't going anywhere anytime soon. That's what you got in front of you if you're the Titans and everybody else in the AFC.
You need someone in the NFC to somehow trade for one of them.
Exactly.
Good luck.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on Shadur Sanders and the quarterbacks in this draft coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on conference championship weekend as well. We'll get back into that later this hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared Stillman texting my personal text line, Joe.
Oh, goody.
Says, outside of TD, almost no variance on Sanders. Most people don't think he's the top of the draft quarterback. Talks about Matt Miller, PFF, having him at 44. Blake Bedingfield, second round grade. So it seems to me most people don't think he's that good. I said, your boy Mel Kiper got him at number 4 on his big board.
And what about me? Well, my analysis doesn't count. I got him number 1 over Cam Ward.
Yeah. And still he said, Mel is hedging his bets, and I'm disgusted by it. There you go.
Yeah, there's no way that he could have a different opinion.
Mel Kiper got him number 4 on the big board. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, Mel's the GOAT, isn't he? Mel's the OG.
He's got Cam Ward, number 5. Travis Hunter, 1. Abdul Carter, 2. Mason Graham, 3. DT out of Michigan.
Interesting.
And then Sanders at 4.
Wow, okay. Interesting. Yeah, Mason Graham, good prospect in the interior of the defensive line. Yeah, I don't know. Look,
that's who the Titans take number 1 overall.
Hey, man.
The interior D lineman.
Sweat and Graham together?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to move that middle at all.
By the way, someone on the text line, speaking of D tackle, someone on the text line earlier was like, you guys can't be serious that you don't think Simmons is trying to get himself to New England. I don't think congratulating an assistant coach who's joining Vrabel's staff is like going to usher, you know, is going to like convince Borgonzi to trade him.
As I said a couple of weeks ago, I stand by it now. If Jeffrey Simmons approached the Titans this offseason and said, my God, will you please get me out of here? I don't know that I could sit here and blame him, right? Like, it's been pretty bad football around here for a while. So
couldn't blame him.
I don't know that I could
probably
blame him.
Say, yeah, I know what we can do there, buddy.
Exactly. Like, so again, having said that, I don't view that Jeffrey Simmons is sitting here trying to tweet his way to New England.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he'd – I mean, look, most players, you know, would like to win. Of course, New England isn't
– that's where you want to go right now.
Necessarily that. But the Vrabel thing.
Sure.
You get it. I mean, you love playing for Vrabel, you know?
Yeah.
Some guys do. Yeah, on the quarterback thing, I think the higher ceiling for Cam Ward, I buy that. I do buy that, you know? I mean, I think that, like, Cam Ward, it's crazy to me that he started his college career at Incarnate Word.
Yeah.
Like, you watch that guy, you know, throw the ball, and you're like, how?
Everybody knows that's where you go to develop good quarterbacks.
Yeah. Like how was he as a high schooler not, you know, more of a coveted prospect? But, no, I mean, look, I think there's more – The traits are more eye-popping with him. There's no doubt.
Yes.
Right?
I would agree.
But it's just, again, that doesn't necessarily – I mean, you want eye-popping traits. There's a guy who plays a position, a quarterback who lives in Nashville, who has some of those too, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not – again, I'm not trying to compare them as players. I'm just saying there's plenty of traits players. Go look in Indianapolis that doesn't matter.
Right. Like, there's more to play in that position than just the traits. And, look, you can – you can play that position effectively in the NFL without having some of those traits.
Well, right? That's the thing. And that's where you get into some of the people who – I mean, I always bring it to Cousins because he's simply not talented enough to play in the NFL. He is not physically gifted enough to play in the NFL except the quick decisions and the accuracy of the football. And look what it's done for his career.
Right.
He has hundreds of millions in the bank because of it. And that's where when I look at Shedeur Sanders in that way, that's, to me, those are the two most important things. You want other stuff too. But I watched Jaden Daniels play, and he's seeing it fast, and he's getting it out, and he's putting the ball on a spot. And of all the other things that matter about quarterback, I'm taking those things one and two in whatever order, and then you build it out from there. And that's where I think Sanders is better.
Yeah, like Sanders, it's hard to ignore. Like, I realize, you know, we have this discussion a lot. Not every league, not every schedule, particularly nowadays in college football, is created equal. So I understand all that. It's hard for me to ignore a 74% completion percentage. Like, that's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah.
74% completion percentage and 8-7 an attempt this year for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. And obviously he had a tremendous talent. He had a good receiving core in general. But he had tremendous talent, you know, on the other end of his passes in Hunter. He had terrible offensive line play. In both years at Colorado, he was running for his life. And, yeah, watching him play, I felt like the ball was up. You know, he had the bad pick at Nebraska this year.
Yep.
But for the most part, like, the ball was out, and it was in the right spot, man, over and over with him. Also, if you go back and look at the throw he made, I don't know, it's one play in a game, but go back and watch the Hail Mary, which wasn't really a Hail Mary, but, I mean, it was, I guess you'd call it that, but the throw he made to against Baylor in that game, it's seriously one of the most insane throws I've ever seen. So it's not just like some weak armed guy who can get it, you know, can throw it through the tire 10 times in a row.
No, he's got some really good ability. Is it franchise quarterback, number one overall pick worthy? Like, that's going to be the determination here. It's like, when you get through all the tape and look, I'm not saying the in-person evaluation is not important, because it is, right? Like, they're going to meet with Shedeur Sanders. They've already met with him once. I'm sure that they'll meet and talk with him again. And, you know, they'll do the same with Cam Ward. All that stuff's important, getting to know the player and the person and the habits and all that stuff. But, like, when you look at the tape, if you're Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi and all the decision makers for the Titans, when you get to the end of it and you shut it off, do you say, yeah, like, we feel like that guy can get us into the conversation moving forward in the AFC with some of the other top quarterbacks in the league? And it's almost unfair to make the Mahomes thing at this point, just because, and you know, he's been in the league 7 years, he's to his fifth Super Bowl. So that part of it is what it is. But unfortunately for you and for everybody else in your conference, that and Josh Allen, I mean, what we saw last night is what you have to go through. And you got to find a path to get there. And that's not even accounting for, you know, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, who are also in this conference.
Yeah, and then or a guy like Justin Herbert, who has tremendous talent. Or a guy like C.J. Stroud, who pretty freaking good,
in your division,
by the way. Yeah.
Just wait till Will Levis gets traded to Jacksonville, and he's working with Liam Cohen. Have him to deal with, too.
There you go. That's a very good point. Yeah, and that's where it's like, apart from judging the prospect, you know, philosophically, you know, is it like, do you feel almost more like you need to try to swing for the fences for a quarterback? Because if that's the case, then again, I would say if you're picking a QB, then go with Cam Ward. Because I do think that, like, I think that there's probably a higher level if it all came together for him, just because, again, I think he has more arm talent.
Yeah.
Arm talent as in strength and some of the throws he can make. Again, what's the most important arm talent? I would argue that it's accuracy. But philosophically, if you're a GM in the AFC and you don't have one of those guys, is it more important to take as many swings at quarterback or shoot high and go high risk, high reward?
That's a good question.
Or is it more important to, you know what, we're never going to have quarterbacks like those guys. It's not going to happen. But Jalen Hurts is in the Super Bowl, and he's not a quarterback like those guys. He's a very good quarterback. But look at that team. Let's build the team and hope that we can get a good to very good quarterback. Build a great team. That team is playing for a championship.
I mean, you know who had some pretty good arm talent that could be available for the Titans this offseason?
Oh, boy.
That has already been mentioned once on this show by Nick Suss earlier. I mean, Zach Wilson.
Oh, sure.
A lot of traits.
He does have traits. He does have traits.
Remember when he made the throw, like, off platform at the combine, and people were like, "What?" Or his pro day? And you're like, did you see that throw by Zach Wilson?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, this one crossbody throw that he made. It's like, oh, my goodness. That was Mahomes-esque from Zach Wilson.
Hey, I mean, is there not, like, a Jets tax at this point that you just have to, right? A Jets asterisk with anybody who went through that crap?
I said it earlier. I had not thought about it until Nick Suss brought it up with us in the 7 o'clock hour. But the QB room of Zach Wilson and Will Levis may be what we all need.
Wilson Levis. Sounds like a 80s rock band, like pop, soft pop band.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
615.
I totally blew that joke.
737-1025. Our phone number. Final thoughts on the quarterback front for the Titans for the day. We'll also look ahead to what a Super Bowl looks like that I am just totally not excited about at all. Kansas City and Philadelphia after conference championship weekend yesterday. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, the Super Bowl is set. Kansas City, again. And Philadelphia, again.
Yeah.
I kind of look at this right now, Joe, and I said it last night. I have a ton of respect and appreciation for what the Chiefs are doing. I really do. Like, it's unbelievable what they're doing. That word is used too much in sports, unbelievable, but it kind of fits here. Like, it's crazy what the Chiefs are doing. At the same time, I have, like, zero interest in the Super Bowl whatsoever. Like, I cannot, for the life of me, get excited about the Chiefs and Eagles matchup. I just can't. That's just me. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for the masses at large. But personally, I don't know that I've been less excited about a Super Bowl in my entire life than this one.
Wow. No kidding. Well, there are definitely – I would have been more excited. I would have been more – look, like Bills-Eagles would have been a lot more exciting. The Bills finally getting a chance. Maybe they can finally win one after losing four in a row. And, you know, obviously a long-suffering fan base, and that matchup would be good. I think Commanders getting there would have – it just almost would have felt wrong to me. I mean, it would have been fun. But, you know, like they shouldn't be ready yet. That's not how it's supposed to go.
Right.
And I think that they've got more runs in them in years to come for with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. I'm not unexcited. I mean, I'm. It's not my pick. I think most of America was rooting for the Bills just to change it up.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think at this point,
What was the number? Is it 17 in a row? Is that what you?
So they've won 12 consecutive one-score games this year, and I think 17 in a row overall.
It was
16 insane. Straight yesterday.
It's insane, and you know, like they deserve all the praise. And again, you know, we'll see if they can finish the deal. If they do, I mean, there's a reason no one's ever done it before. It's really hard.
Yeah,
because think about like you have to make these deep runs every time, you know, like think about all that goes into it just to repeat, which is very hard. To three-peat is, it would be incredible. I do think it's going to be a great game. I mean, I'm excited for it. I'll be excited for it by the time it comes. But yeah, there would have been better matchups. I mean, look, I'm excited that we know that, well, we can't count on the possibility of the earth swallowing itself because the Lions aren't playing.
Right? Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, we should still exist as a planet after Super Bowl Sunday. Yes. So, at least you have that. But, yeah, there are other combinations that would have been more fun. I mean, but that was a really fun Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Two?
2 years ago?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I mean,
two years ago.
It was fun. I just think there's a lot of fatigue with this match. Now, look, it's the Super Bowl. The ratings are going to be through the roof. People are going to watch. We all know this. I was just pulling heavily for the Bills yesterday. Like, I do feel for Josh Allen to some degree. Like, I'd throw Lamar Jackson into this mix too. Like, we talked about it when Buffalo and Baltimore played each other. Like, those are two teams that have been trying to break through in this conference and get there for a long time at this point, and nobody can get through Mahomes. They can't do it. And I asked the question Friday, like, are we just morons for picking against Kansas City in this game? And turns out probably,
well,
yeah, we are. Like, it just, you know, but like at some point, I think somebody is going to beat them in the AFC, maybe at some point. But like, you know, Josh Allen, he wasn't perfect yesterday. He did have some misses in the game. You know, he got stuffed a couple times on the tush push, which we talked about earlier in the show. But by and large, like, I think he played well enough for them to win the game. And Kansas City, as they often do, just makes one or two more plays at the end, and that's why they're sitting here on the verge of their third consecutive Super Bowl.
Yeah,
his fourth.
Look, I mean, Patrick Mahomes. I think at times, like, the MVP this year is going to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. It should be. Should be one of those two guys.
Yeah.
They're dynamic. They're incredible players. They had better years than Patrick Mahomes. But he is clearly the best. He's the best player in the NFL. And I think he's on his way to being the best quarterback of all time. And, again, it's just like whatever is needed. Kenny the Mailman called us in 6 o'clock hour. Whatever it is, okay. Well, then I'll become a runner in this game and just tear you apart with that. And just he just makes – he's just incredible, man. And I got to say, this was a year to get them. Because they aren't a complete offense. This was a year to get them. What happens if Worthy takes a big step, which all of a sudden yesterday I'm like, uh-oh. And what happens if you know, they get a true number one receiver in there again with Mahomes? I mean, they could be a lot more dominant than they are, and here they are 60 minutes from three-peat.
Well, and think about this, too. So, they, you know, they win his first one, and Tyreek Hill's on the team. So they have that number one guy. And then he leaves, and they've won these last two with – I'm not going to sit here and say, like, just a bunch of guys on offense because they have had Travis Kelce, and that's a big part of this.
Yeah.
But, like, the receiving core is not then especially impressive.
And Kelce now is slowing down.
And, like, especially this year.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he just had 117 yards in a playoff game before this one. But, like, yesterday he had two catches for 19 yards. And he did not have the same type of season – that we're seeing from him that we've gotten accustomed to. But now their defense is elite. Like, they've done it in different ways, which I think makes it even more impressive. Like, even from last year to this year, like, their defense was great last year too. They had Snead, and now they don't have Snead, and they're still an elite defense. Like, it's pretty crazy, the run that they're on.
It is.
And the different ways they've done it.
And, you know, when you get a coordinator who's like a lifer coordinator who's not a threat to leave as a head coach and he's that good, boy, that's awfully good. You have your head coach who's the offensive genius, and you got probably the best D coordinator in the NFL, And he's just – he's cool. He'll just stay there.
I will forever. Say, like, as much as I'm not interested in the Super Bowl, I do think Philadelphia has the best roster in the league. So, what's going to matter more at the end of the day?
See, you've, I mean, this segment has already got me a little bit more excited about the game.
Well, I'm glad
sorry,
I have.
I'm sorry you won't be watching.
I will not. I have other plans.
I'll send you some clips. Are you going to be on the Scrambler? I'll send you some clips. I think it might clips. Be.
That does it for us
or
today.
Or teacups, I guess. The teacups?
The teacups. That does it for us today on the program. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.